Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 12th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
praise and criticism hit Joe Biden's pick of Kamala Harris for vice president.
Shares of Moderna surge after the company strikes a vaccine supply deal with the White House.
And the stimulus stalemate drags on with no talks on the table and both sides showing no signs of conceding.
Slow utility restorations have lit up angry authorities in the tri-state area. Plus, more New York bars have lost their liquor licenses. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won, the Mets lost, and there was a marathon in the Stanley Cup playoff.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are gaining after yesterday's declines. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 24 points. Dow futures up 245. NASDAQ futures higher by 91 points. 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield 0.66%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3%, up 55 cents to $42.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $8.90 to $1,937.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1765 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.81. John.
And Nathan, we begin on the campaign trail, where Joe Biden has tapped Senator Kamala Harris as his pick for vice president. Let's get the very latest from Bloomberg Chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
I'm told by sources connected to the campaign that they view this as a unifying pick on the issue of progressive politics. She has typically tried to position herself as someone of a bridge of sorts between the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and the more centrist wing, and look for Republicans to look at her record on criminal justice reform, to look at her time that she spent in California. Let's also note that this would be a historic pick should she ultimately become the vice president. She would no doubt be, of course, the first female vice president and also the first minority vice president.
Harris will join Biden at a virtual fundraiser today and at events in Delaware in the coming week. She'll face Vice President Mike Pence in a debate set for October 7th.
Now, Democratic leaders like Senator Chuck Schumer are praising the pick.
She has stood up to the gun lobby. She has stood up to the oil and gas lobby. And she has an outstanding record. She's one of the finest senators we have. Joe Biden couldn't have made a better choice.
President Trump, meantime, is on the attack.
I thought she was the meanest, the most horrible, most disrespectful of anybody in the U.S. Senate.
Now, the most likely challenge for Harris will be confronting her past as a prosecutor. She has drawn criticism for aggressive prosecution of people of color, some of whom were later exonerated.
Now, let's shift gears now and turn to the latest on the pandemic. Florida is reporting another day of record deaths. California is out with its second highest one-day gain in cases, and infections in Texas have now topped 500,000. Hospitalizations in the state are on the decline, but Texas Governor Greg Abbott says intensive care units are still strained.
Hospital capacity by those who are positive for COVID-19 still remains too high.
Daily cases in the U.S. rose 0.9% yesterday. That's roughly half the peak seen last month.
In the meantime, Moderna has reached a $1.5 billion deal with the White House on its experimental vaccine.
We have reached an agreement with Moderna to manufacture and deliver 100 million doses of their coronavirus vaccine candidate.
The agreement is the latest of several supply deals with companies that are working on a vaccine, and the news has shares of Moderna higher by almost 9.5% in early trading.
Now, restaurants across the country have been battered by the pandemic and are starting to show permanent scars. The industry is on track to lose a quarter of all establishments nationwide. That's according to Debbie So. She's the CEO of the reservation service Open Table.
the numbers just don't work. So overwhelmingly, what we're hearing is it's a struggle. Restaurants are doing everything they can to be scrappy and make it work and find pockets of growth.
So says the move to takeout and delivery is here to stay even after the pandemic eases.
But while we're still neck deep in the outbreak, business is hurting and talks on a fresh round of stimulus have ground to a halt. There are no negotiations, no new ones underway, but leaders in Congress are still continuing their lines of attack.
If Democrats are playing hardball, their opponents aren't us Republicans. Not really. They're playing hardball against kids, workers, and vulnerable Americans who need help.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is pressing Democrats for concessions. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is blaming Republicans for the stalemate.
This is not a both sides to blame situation. Democrats are willing to compromise.
It's been 4 days since negotiators last met. Some congressional staff say the standoff could continue into September when a deal could be triggered by a shutdown deadline. Lawmakers have to reach a consensus to keep the government running before October 1st.
Well, coming up on the economic front, we're going to get another reading on inflation today after producer prices came in above estimates. Today's consumer price index is forecast to rise 0.3%. The data comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. After that, tune in for an interview with Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. He sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg Radio and Television around 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
All right, turning to corporate news now. Airbnb is getting close to an IPO. Sources tell us the company plans to file paperwork for a listing in the next few weeks. The move would represent a swift comeback for Airbnb after the pandemic sent shockwaves through the travel industry.
And shares of Tesla up 5% in the pre-market. This after the company announced a 5-to-1 stock split. And here with more on the story, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a move timed to make the stock less expensive for individual investors after a recent run-up in valuation, making it the world's largest automaker by market capitalization. The Silicon Valley electric car manufacturer says each shareholder of record on August 21st will get a dividend of 4 additional shares of common stock. It'll begin trading on a split-adjusted basis on August 31st. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thanks. The broader equity market's moving higher this morning as well, with S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 252, NASDAQ futures higher by 96 points, 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 0.67%, the euro at 1.1766 against the dollar, the yen at 106.82. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Where it is 6:07 on Wall Street, and let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. In New York, several thousand still remain without power more than a week after Tropical Storm Isaias. Governor Andrew Cuomo slammed Con Ed and PSEG, saying they have done a lousy job in restoring power. Connecticut's Attorney General wants to crack down on utility companies that left tens of thousands of people without lights. State AG William Tong says it's been a stunning failure on the part of our state's utilities, and they need to be held accountable. Tong says he is filing motions against utilities Eversource and United Illuminating. Another 38 bars and restaurants in New York City have lost their liquor licenses for COVID-19-related violations. South Dakota, Hawaii, and the Virgin Islands have been added to the tri-state's travel COVID-19 advisory list. It means anybody who enters New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut from states on the list must quarantine for 14 days. Alaska, New Mexico, Rhode Island, and Ohio are off the list. Representative Ilhan Omar, a member of the so-called squad of progressives, fended off a strong challenge and won her Democratic primary in Minneapolis. Vice President Mike Pence traveled to Arizona to speak at a Cops for Trump rally in Phoenix. There, the Arizona Police Association formally endorsed President Trump for re-election. The group's president, Justin Harris.
These liberal socialist elected officials have essentially told their constituents that law and order is no longer a priority.
Officers accused of overstepping their authority in New York City's police department have been ordered to participate in interviews with civilian investigators. During his news conference, President Trump praised the NYPD.
New York City has an army of great police. I know them very well. And the law enforcement and the New York's finest are as good as it gets. And they should be allowed to do their job. If they do their job, if they're allowed to do their job, the New York City problem will be solved and be solved quickly. They do it well.
The fight over police records is among the battles taking place in cities around the country where there is growing demand for accountability from police departments. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street, time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, quick start for the Yankees. Back home after a 2-5 road trip, they began a season-high nine-game homestand with a Luke Voit three-run homer, four batters in. Mike Ford is going to get more at-bats with Giancarlo Stanton out for 3 to 4 weeks with that hamstring injury. Had two doubles, three RBIs. The Yanks beat the Braves 9-6. The Nationals, after four runs Monday, had a leadoff home run last night from Trey Turner. And against Max Scherzer in the Nats bullpen, the Mets bats were quiet. They lost 2-1. So the Mets and Yankees were both at home, and there were actually three games played in New York State. The Blue Jays debuted at their new home in Buffalo, beat Miami. First Major League game in Buffalo since 1915. The Nets will be heavy underdogs against Toronto in the NBA playoffs, but the depleted Nets continue to play well in Orlando. Their third straight win, fifth of the last six, 108-96 over the Magic. Also in the NBA, Phoenix won again. The Suns are 7-0 in the NBA's restart. And in Portland's win over Dallas, 61 points for the Blazers, Damian Lillard. Stanley Cup playoffs, Tampa Bay and Columbus, 2-2 in the fifth overtime.
Kucherov, right circle shot, blocked. Rebound, Sergachev, right circle, Kucherov shoots, blocked. Point high slot. Shoot! Score! 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 Braden Point! Braden Point! Braden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime! 3-2!
WFLA the call. It ended the fourth longest game ever in defeat. Blue Jackets goalie Jonas Korpisalo shattered the record for most saves in a game. He had 85, 12 more than the Islanders' Kelly Rudy had in 1987 in Washington. The current Islanders play game one against the Capitals this afternoon. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. Well, what appeared to be a bad week for golfer Justin Thomas wasn't so bad after all. He finished 37th at the PGA Championship, also lost his number one ranking. But he's played so well this year that he's assured of being the number one seed when the FedEx Cup postseason begins. That also means he wins the Wyndham Rewards for leading after the regular season. That comes with a $2 million bonus. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurtonLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks and bond yields are rising around the world along with U.S. equity futures. Gold has rebounded after finding support below $1,900 an ounce. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 29 points, Dow futures up 291. NASDAQ futures up 107 points. 10-year is down 10 30 seconds. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6%, up 65 cents, $42.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is down now 0.4%, down $8.10 to $1,938.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1771 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.84. Shares of Moderna are higher by about 9% after the company reached a deal with the White House to buy 100 million doses of its coronavirus vaccine candidate. And Tesla shares are up almost 6% after announcing a 5-1 stock split. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Michael Barr is here now with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Democratic presidential campaign turns to Delaware this morning. From rivals to running mates, Joe Biden and California Senator Kamala Harris are set to hold their first event together today. The groundbreaking announcement makes Harris the first Black and Asian American woman on a major party's ticket. In college football, the Big 12 Conference is moving ahead with its plans to play the 2020 season, according to multiple reports. The decision comes on the heels of the postponements by the Big 10 and Pac-12, which put the fate of the season in jeopardy. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Braves 9-6. The Mets lost to the Nationals 2-1. The Red Sox lost. The A's were shut out by the Angels 6-0. The Orioles and Giants won. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. NHL action, the Islanders play the Capitals this afternoon in Game 1 of the playoffs. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Florida reporting another day of record deaths from COVID-19. California is out with its second highest one-day gain in cases. Infections in Texas have now topped 500,000. Let's get a virus update now from Dr. Andy Pekosh of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Those numbers I just read off, does that point to the need for additional mitigation efforts?
Many other countries around the world have been able to control the spread of the virus after these initial surges that we here in the U.S. saw February, March, and those kind of areas in that time frame. Clearly, there's more that can be done. There's more that needs to be done to control the levels of virus infections that are going on, because these really are unsustainable levels that will eventually really tax our medical infrastructure and result in larger numbers of deaths that, to be honest, are truly preventable.
As we get ready for schools, whether school districts are opening or not, it raises the question of whether kids are more susceptible than the rest of the population.
Yeah, and this is an ongoing research question that's going on that people are, many people are interested in and are getting data about. Lately, we've seen a surge in cases in much younger populations, so elementary school age kids, junior high school age kids. Numbers of cases have really been surging over the past 2 weeks in those age groups, something we haven't seen before. So again, that's telling us that kids are susceptible to getting infected, even though they may not show the severe disease at the same rate as adults do. The other thing to remember here, though, is that even a low rate of severe disease, essentially the entire population is susceptible to this infection. So you can still have a large number of severe cases in children, even though the overall rate of severity is low, because there's just so many people that are susceptible to infection.
Is there a danger that we may level off at a higher level?
Yeah, and I think that is something that all public health officials would not want to see. We want to make sure that when we level off, we're leveling off at a very low rate of cases, because that's when the testing and the contact tracing that everybody talks about is most effective. When you're leveling off at a high level of thousands of cases a day, we just don't have the infrastructure here in terms of contact tracing to be able to handle and control the outbreaks when there are that many positives around.
Why do you suppose other parts of the world have fewer problems in terms of the mitigation efforts, and to the extent that it's been politicized here in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at places like New Zealand and Taiwan and even South Korea who experienced a surge of cases and then got things under control, the common theme is to put public health interventions in place until the case numbers get low, and then to institute widespread testing and contact tracing so that when you find cases of COVID-19, which we will because the virus is here, it's not going to go away, you can institute isolation and testing of immediate contacts through contact tracing to try to limit the spread of the virus from those individuals that are infected. That's a common theme, and that takes some commitment in terms of local as well as federal government agencies, and it takes the infrastructure that's able to put that in place and be able to deal with that in a rapid manner.
Assuming that a virus will put the nail in the coffin of the virus with some sort of medication, with some sort of vaccine, where do we stand on that front?
Yeah, well, we're in the middle of starting some phase 3 trials for a number of vaccines here in the U.S. So within 2 to 3 months, we should start to hear about the safety and the overall efficacy of these vaccines. We've had some news reports from China as well as from Russia that they have vaccines against COVID-19. I would take that with a grain of salt, because I've yet to see significant numbers of significant amounts of data that would speak to efficacy as well as to the safety of these vaccines. We'll know more in 2 or 3 months. And at that point in time, the discussion about how to distribute vaccines will really begin in earnest, even though plans are going on right now. But once we know which candidates pass our efficacy and safety tests, then we can really start to come together with a concrete plan for vaccination.
Andy, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Dr. Andy Pankos of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health this morning. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now in the green, the Dow futures up 284 points, S&P futures up 28, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures 106 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. A Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining after yesterday's declines. Oil is higher and so are Treasury yields. On the campaign trail, Joe Biden has selected a running mate, tapping Senator Kamala Harris as his pick for VP. Here with the latest is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Oakland-born, Harris made her way through the elected political ranks from San Francisco DA to California Attorney General up to U.S. Senator. Harris has emerged as a voice for police reform and racial justice in recent months. If elected, she would be the first female vice president, the first African-American vice president, and the first Asian heritage vice president. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In the meantime, on Capitol Hill, talks on a fresh round of stimulus have ground to a halt. There are no negotiations underway, but leaders in Congress are still continuing their lines of attack.
If Democrats are playing hardball, their opponents aren't us Republicans. Not really. They're playing hardball against kids, workers, and vulnerable Americans who need help.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is pressing Democrats for concessions, while Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blames Republicans for the stalemate.
This is not a both sides to blame situation. Democrats are willing to compromise.
It's been 4 days since negotiators last met. No new talks are currently on the schedule.
Well, coming up on the economic schedule today, we get another reading on inflation after producer prices came in above estimates. Today's consumer price index is forecast to rise 0.3%. The data come out at 8:30 a.m. on Wall Street. After that, tune in for an interview with Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. That comes up around 12:30 p.m.
And turning to corporate news now, shares of Tesla up 6% of the pre-market after the company announced a 5-to-1 stock split. It's a move to make shares less expensive for individual investors as Tesla capitalizes on its recent surge. Trading will begin on a split-adjusted basis August 31st.
And Airbnb is getting close to an IPO. Sources tell us the company plans to file paperwork for a listing in the next few weeks. The move would represent a swift comeback for Airbnb after the pandemic sent shockwaves through the travel industry. Now let's see how the markets are looking. We check them every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 27 points. Dow futures up 275. NASDAQ futures higher by 103 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. COMEX gold down 0.4%, down $7.50 to $1938.70 an ounce, and the euro is at 1.1771 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
We're at 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. In New York, several thousand still remain without power more than a week after Tropical Storm Isaias. The head of PSEG says all power will be restored on Long Island by today. Meanwhile, Connecticut's Attorney General wants to crack down on utility companies that left tens of thousands in the dark. William Tong says it's been a stunning failure on the part of Eversource and United Illuminating. Another 38 bars and restaurants in New York City have lost their liquor licenses for COVID-19-related violations. New York Governor Cuomo signed legislation yesterday that starting November 1st, all passengers 16 and older in a vehicle must wear a seatbelt. Right now, passengers age 16 and older are required to wear a seatbelt only in the front passenger seat next to the driver. Representative Ilhan Omar fended off a strong challenge and won her Democratic primary in Minnesota. In cities across America, demonstrators continue to protest racial injustice and demand reformed law enforcement. Officers accused of overstepping their authority in New York City's police department have been ordered to participate in interviews with civilian investigators. During his news conference, President Trump said New York City has an army of great police.
The mayor, Bill de Blasio, should immediately hire back all of the police who were fired without justification. They were fired. I guess that's part of defund the police by the Democrats. They should hire New York City's finest back. You have some incredible policemen doing specific jobs that nobody else can do.
Seattle's first black police chief, Carmen Best, confirmed that she is resigning as the local city council cuts her department's budget and plans layoffs of officers.
This was a decision I wrestled with, but it was time.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Yeah, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Mets and Yankees both at home. Yanks beat the Braves at the stadium 9-6. Home runs for Luke Voit and Aaron Judge. Voit a three-run shot in the first inning to get the Yanks going. Judge with his major league leading ninth of the year. It was hit so hard it dented an advertisement above the Yankee bullpen in right center field. And Judge was later surprisingly pinch hit for, though apparently not injured. The Mets lost to Washington 2-1. Max Scherzer besting Rick Porcello. The Nets made it three straight wins in Orlando. They beat the Magic 108-96. One more regular season game for Brooklyn tomorrow against Portland. The Blazers' Damian Lillard has scored 51 and 61 points in his last two games. The Nets will then begin the playoffs against Toronto, where the official start of the Stanley Cup playoffs produced the fourth longest game in NHL history. Tampa Bay beat Columbus 3-2 in five overtimes. The Islanders play game one with Washington this afternoon. While the Big Ten and Pac-12 conferences made it official, there'll be no fall sports, perhaps moving football to the spring. The Big 12, SEC, and ACC say they still plan to play this fall. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Right, John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The coronavirus pandemic has changed a lot of things and now has many big cities, including New York, reimagining transportation. We've been bringing you our series on reopening the MTA, and now we're looking at how one transportation policy expert sees mass transit playing a key role in racial justice. Here with the story is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Martin Luther King Jr. called urban public transportation a genuine civil rights issue, and recent protests against racial inequality are shining a light on the subject once again. Darnell Grisby is director of policy development at the American Public Transportation Association and writes a column for Bloomberg City Lab saying public transit has a key role in fighting racism.
It has a deep role to play because it provides access to opportunity in a given metropolitan region. It really allows people to get from point A to point B, not just to jobs, but to metropolitan opportunities. And until we can actually make sure we have the proper investment levels and operations to make sure that everyone in the metropolitan area has access to those opportunities, our cities and our communities and our people will never reach their full potential, which really impacts our ability as a nation to compete. So it connects back in with the idea that for America to be its best, we should ensure that all have access to opportunity.
During the column, you talked about your own experience with racism growing up in Southern California, and you describe hearing the clicks of locks as you walk down the street, saying that racist drivers are using their cars as barriers against people like you. Let's talk about the clicking locks that we don't hear but may still exist.
Those clicking sounds that I heard, I continue to hear in different ways. That was quite literal. Now it's a lot more subtext. And I think the nation needs to further examine how we connect with one another, what our core values are, and whether or not we can actually fulfill our destiny as a multiracial, multi-party democracy. That is really our guiding light for the world.
You say that the nation's infrastructure investments have promoted systemic racism and it's impacted generations of African Americans. First, can you explain how?
I think there's been a disinvestment from our communities and our cities for a long time. The more integrated they became, the more likely it would be that we would disinvest from them, to the point where when it comes to public transportation, there's a $100 billion backlog in what we call the state of get repair, which simply means the cost it would take to modernize the existing transit service that we have. I think that's really one of the core elements of this. The other is that during that same time period, we invested a lot of money into highways, which really facilitated the ability of people to leave the cities and go out to the suburbs and live a separate life from one another. It led to additional segregation and further distance when it comes to access to opportunity.
What does this mean to Black families and communities around the country, socially and financially?
It means that we need to redouble our efforts and understand that infrastructure is part of the movement for equality, making sure that we have equitable investments that ensure access to opportunity for all is part of the movement for racial justice. We also have to consider our transportation infrastructure as another key element of the uplift so that all Americans have access to opportunity.
Our thanks to Darnell Grisby, Director of Policy Development at the American Public Transportation Association. Coming up next in our series on reopening the MTA, three key ways that public transit systems can reprioritize investments in people and places. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the green. The Dow futures up 273 points right now, up 1%. NASDAQ futures 106 points higher, that's up 1%. S&P futures up 27 points, they're up about 0.8%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks and bond yields are rising around the world along with U.S. equity futures. S&P futures are higher by 26 points at the moment. Dow futures up 267. NASDAQ futures up 103. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The 10-year Treasury is down 10 30 seconds. The yield up to 0.67% now. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7%, up 70 cents at $42.31 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, down $5.40 to $19.40.90 an ounce. The euro is at 1.770 against the dollar. The yen at 106.85. Shares of Moderna are higher by 9.4% in the pre-market after the company announced it has reached a deal with the U.S. for 100 million doses of its experimental COVID vaccine. Tesla shares are up almost 6% after the company announced a 5-to-1 stock split. That's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, the mystery is over. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has picked California Senator Kamala Harris to be his running mate. President Obama wrote Joe Biden nailed this decision by choosing Senator Kamala Harris as America's next vice president. He underscored his own judgment and character. Biden and Harris will be in Delaware today. In college football, the Big 12 Conference is moving ahead with its plans to play the 2020 season, according to multiple reports. The decision comes on the heels of the postponements by the Big Ten and Pac-12, which put the fate of the season in jeopardy. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Braves 9-6. The Mets lost to the Nationals 2-1. The Red Sox lost. The A's were shut out by the Angels 6-0. The Orioles and Giants won. NBA action, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. The Islanders play the Capitals this afternoon in Game 1 of the NHL playoffs. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street. That's time to check in what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include with Senator Kamala Harris bringing an aggressive approach to politics and public policy as Joe Biden's running mate. President Trump tapping his presidential authority to make tax changes that Congress is refusing to do, but it could backfire. And state officials wary of slower than usual mail delivery, extending mail-in ballot deadlines, and making backup plans ahead of the election. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Nice to talk to you again. Let's talk about Joe Biden's pick for running mate, Kamala Harris. Is it such a bad thing to be holding an aggressive approach to politics and public policy?
Well, I think that for Joe Biden, there's a lot of reasons why Harris was an attractive choice as a running mate. And I think that, you know, you hammered on one of them. I think, you know, being aggressive in politics and public policy, you know, kind of having some of those policy chops and also showing a willingness, you know, even to go after Biden in some of these debates, you know, if you look ahead to the general election and the general election debate that you'll have with Mike Pence, I think that in this election could have been characteristics that might have made her look like an appealing choice to the Biden campaign.
Do you suppose she is a bridge in the Democratic Party between the progressives in the Democratic Party and the centrists?
Well, I think certainly that's the hope of the Biden campaign. I think there's a bit of history rewriting there in the sense that in her career in the Senate and going back to her career in California, she's been more of a centrist, really. She really is a little bit more from the kind of ilk of the Democratic Party that Joe Biden himself is from. She has a history of being, you know, very tough on crime as a prosecutor, as a state attorney general. But I do think that, you know, given her background, her age, she's a full generation younger than both Trump and Biden. The fact that she is of Jamaican and Indian ancestry, that she's a woman. I think in all of those cases and for all of those reasons, the Biden campaign is hopeful that she will expand their appeal to, you know, younger voters, women voters, minority voters. But that's certainly going to be a dynamic to watch in the coming days.
Let's move on to the next story. President Trump is tapping his presidential authority to make some tax changes that so far Congress is refusing to do. How could this backfire?
Well, there's a few ways. I think that, you know, just on its face, I think that, you know, every time, particularly when the Republicans, when the party that controls the White House controls one chamber of Congress, i.e. in this case the Senate, when the White House is seen to be doing an end run around Congress, not only do members of Congress not like that, but I think members of the public as well at least raise some eyebrows about whether or not that's really the right approach. So there's that element. And then I think on top of this, particularly when it comes to the payroll tax cut that the president essentially enacted over the weekend by executive order, the concern there is that these payments are still going to come due. And so that could result in reductions in Social Security payments and Medicare payments. And the concern there is that voters, particularly older voters, might not respond well to that. And given that it was a unilateral action by the White House, the implication of that might be that they blame Trump.
Where are we on the stimulus talks, or the lack of stimulus talks?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said the lack of stimulus talks. I think, you know, we're still in that deep freeze phase where it doesn't seem like there's any real negotiating going on between the White House and congressional Democrats. I think that, you know, that is the thing to watch. And if and when that changes, I think that is a signal perhaps that there might be some movement. But we really have not seen that yet since really last Thursday when the talks imploded.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. And, of course, you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a top 100 national university, and the latest U.S. News and World Report college rankings. Learn more at news.njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Russia's announcement that it is the first country to approve a coronavirus vaccine is being greeted with skepticism from scientists. They say the rush to offer the vaccine before final stage testing could backfire. What's called a phase 3 trial, which involves tens of thousands of people and can take months, is the only way to prove if an experimental vaccine is safe and really works. The shots in Russia have only been studied in dozens of people. By comparison, vaccines entering final stage testing in the U.S. require studies of 30,000 volunteers. Apple has gone carbon neutral, but in order to say the same for its flagship iPhone, it's going to need help from other countries. More than three quarters of the emissions that come from Apple products originate from outside suppliers, according to the company's Environmental Progress Report. So far, 71 of Apple's hundreds of suppliers have committed to using only renewable energy. And gamers, sorry, you're going to have to wait a little longer for a hotly anticipated video game because of the pandemic. Microsoft's Xbox team has delayed Halo Infinite, which was set for a November release. Microsoft cited delays resulting from a development team working at home during the pandemic. Some parts of video game development are difficult to do remotely, as you might imagine. Halo is a multi-billion dollar franchise that began with the first Xbox almost two decades ago. That is this morning's Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Didn't you have one of those, John?
A STEM?
Yeah. An Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that. It's somewhere in the den. Gotcha. Under the couch, I think. It is 6:55 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. You know, in college towns across the country, small business owners are waiting for students to return. Regina Vaughn operates Freshy Food, a franchise in West Lafayette, Indiana, and Purdue University is the source of her customers. She was closed for a month because of the pandemic, and Regina is joining us now this morning. After students were sent home in March, how was your small business impacted, Regina?
The college town is kind of called the ghost town right now. Since probably in mid-March, we don't even make 75% of the revenue that we were seeing come in, even in the summer when the months, you know, the students aren't as heavy there during the summer, but still we have summer school and camps.
What's the situation with Purdue University for the fall term?
They did open back up the last of the summer school, and then supposedly they're on track to open August 24th for person-to-person classes or online classes. So I'm not 100% sure yet.
There's still a great degree of uncertainty. In the meantime, you have international students at Purdue University as well, mm-hmm. who've basically been stuck at campus. They haven't gone home. Has that been a regular source of income for you?
Yes. They have still been coming in and ordering quite often. So that has helped me besides, you know, whatever government help I have received. But still having them there is such a blessing.
In terms of revenue, are you able to sustain the business with the changed revenue model that you have?
So if they open back up and they stay open, I think my revenue will go up a bit and I can sustain that. If Purdue opens back up and they have an escalation of cases and they close in, you know, 2 months or 3 months or whatever and send everyone back home, I just don't see me being able to sustain, even with international students being here. It just is too much.
All right, Regina Vaughn of Freshy in West Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks. Best of luck. We're going to continue bringing you stories of small business trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. That's your small business report, Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures higher by 25 points. Dow futures up 266. NASDAQ futures up 103 points. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.